Hello, this is Doug Washburn for the Harford County Public Library. Today is 24 July 2007, and I'm with the Harford Living Treasurer, Catherine E. Anderson of Bel Air. Mrs. Anderson, thank you for taking time with me today, providing oral history for our county citizens to enjoy. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
It's good to be here with you.
Okay. So we always start with when you were born and where.
I was born right on Main Street, 336 South Main Street in Bel Air. I had three brothers and one sister, and we were all born right at home. And we grew up right there on Main Street. We had, when my parents bought the place, when they were married, they paid $2,400. They had two lots and a big lot in the back, which my father used for a garden. And
what did he do for a living?
He worked at the Harford Bank in Bel Air. And then later on, he was appointed as treasurer of the Harford Mutual Insurance Company, which he was secretary treasurer of that at the time he died. So he stayed there for that time. My mother was the first telephone operator in Bel Air, and she worked the morning shift, and then a man came in and worked the night shift. But she answered all of the phone calls in her sleep, and her father decided that he wanted to send her to business college in Baltimore if she would give up that job. So she did. She went by train to the business college in Baltimore every day. And the man knew that she'd be coming for the train, and if she was a little late, the train would wait for her. So,
What year did the telephones come to Bel Air?
Well, I don't really remember the year. I can look back and figure it out according to her age. But I remember when we were living on Main Street in Bel Air, we were on a party line, and our number was 93J, I remember that. And if you wanted to make a call, somebody was on, you'd have to ask them if they'd get off the phone so you could make the call. And if the fire siren went off, you just picked up the phone and you knew the woman that was the telephone operator, and you'd say, "Ann, where's the fire?" And she'd tell you where the fire was. So that was nice to know.
Mm-hmm. So you went to school right here in town?
Went to St. Margaret's Parochial School, and then Bel Air High School on Gordon Street, which we still have class reunions there. We just had our 66th class reunion of the Bel Air High School on Gordon Street. And then I went to Eaton Burnett Business College in Baltimore.
Was the school at St. Margaret's in the same location that it is today?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
When my brother started there, it was up on Pennsylvania Avenue. And he was 10 years older than I was. He started there.
So where the parking garage is today? In that area?
Pennsylvania Avenue, yeah. In that area. And then the year that I graduated, I worked at the Commercial and Savings Bank as secretary to the president for that summer, and I got $13 a week. My salary was $13 a week. And then when school started again, I went to Eaton Burnett. And then I left there and went to work at Edgewood Arsenal. For a year, I worked for the cost engineer for the Corps of Engineers there. And then Mr. Street Bowman was elected treasurer, and he was a friend of my father's, so we were sitting at the dining room table one night, and he came in and he said, "Bill, I decided to take your daughter for deputy treasurer." So that's how I got the job of deputy treasurer. So when I informed the man at Edgewood that I was leaving, he got the colonel to come up to the county commissioners and tell them they were going against the war effort if they'd hired me, because I was needed there. But the county commissioners, unfortunately, didn't agree with that, so they went ahead with that. So that's where I worked for years. And an odd thing was that the county commissioners decided that we should stay open half a day on Saturday so that people would have more time to come and pay their taxes. So we worked half a day Saturday, which was something that hasn't been done since, I don't think. Let's see, where were we?
Well, let's back up. When you were growing up in Bel Air, what kind of businesses do you remember? General stores and such?
Well, we had, of course, Boyd and Fulford's was always there. That's still now. But they had Richardson's Drugstore, where we all gathered and had our sundaes and sodas. And after the movies, we would go in there and have something to eat or drink, and then we could, of course, my father didn't have a car, so we walked to everything, or else had somebody pick us up. So I said, if I ever got a car, and I would never keep anybody waiting, because we had to wait so long for if we were going any place for somebody to pick us up. So anyway, then,
well, living in town, there really was probably less right. Need, less than need for
right.
A car. It was convenient.
Right.
And let me see. You were saying 336 South Main
right.
Is close to the modern day Friendly's. So
right.
Catty Corner. Let me see. The movies. What kind of movies were showing when you were?
Well, they had every Saturday afternoon. They had a serial. That continued from one Saturday to the other. So we would go to that. And I think it was on a quarter to get in at that time.
Mm-hmm. What was the topic of the serial?
Well, they were Westerns, and they'd be going over the cliff, and that would be continued the next day, next Saturday. And if we misbehaved, our parents never touched us, you know, as but the punishment would be that we wouldn't be able to go to the theater on the movie on the Saturday. We tried to be really good.
What, we'll see, about other businesses along Main Street? Let's see. How about the 5 and 10? Was it there?
Oh, yes. That was terrible when they closed. That was the place that... They just had everything there. It was perfect. I don't think there are any left now that I know of. Are there?
I think today Woolworth. They're all Dollar General.
Yes, that's right. And, of course, Hershey's men's store has been there forever.
Right.
It's still there. And the place where Alan Getz has his law offices now is where my grandfather had his shoe store. Same place.
Okay.
And that was my father's father had a shoe store there on Main Street in Bel Air.
And he would actually make them? Just sell them?
Sold them.
He just sold them.
Yeah. And I wasn't fortunate enough to know my grandparents. They were all gone before I was born. So I said, the children really have the advantage of grandparents now, which we missed.
Mm-hmm. It's modern medicine.
Right.
Now, you were telling me a story about your great-grandfather had a rather unique occupation in the county.
Yes, he had the stagecoach.
Here's the obituary you were showing me.
Yeah. Mr. William Anderson, well-known driver of the mail stage between Bel Air and Edgewood Station, was accidentally killed at Edgewood with a runaway team.
And what year was this?
That was a...
Let's
such a great.
July 4th of 1884.
Right.
Yes. Okay. So it was might have been a little bit different than that actual day, but around the 4th of July of 1884.
He was killed, but he was greatly respected by everyone. He was thoroughly honest, reliable, and amiable, and one of the best and most popular stage drivers in the county.
How many were there? How many other stagecoach lines were there? Do you know?
I don't know that.
Okay. You're the first one I've ever heard say anything about stagecoaches.
Yes. Every trip he was entrusted with commissions of all kinds to all parts of the city and rarely forgot anything, although he never made a written memorandum. Lawyers and merchants gave him thousands of dollars to be deposited in Baltimore banks without the scratch of a pen. Ladies felt safe when Billy Anderson drove the stage. The children were entrusted to his care when obliged to travel alone. Winter and summer, for almost half a century, he was on the road nearly every day, contented with his lot, proud of his children, and happy in the respect and esteem of the community. He didn't have an enemy in the world.
So he was more than just Bel Air to Edgewood. He just happened to be killed in Edgewood.
Right.
That was very interesting. You never heard of the stagecoach in the county. Very impressed. But I have heard about some of the old bus lines that used to run in Bel Air.
McMahon bus line. I know my father would take me on Sunday morning, the rest of them would go to church, and he would take me on the bus down to the top of Lake Fanny Hill where his mother lived. And we would go down on the bus and then wait for the next bus to come back, so he got to see his mother every Sunday that way. But she wasn't too nice to me. She made me stay out on the porch so I wouldn't scratch the paint or anything. So I really felt like I didn't have any grandparents.
Well, if you went down to Lake Fanny Hill, then at that time the toll house was still open or closed?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Okay, right there in Tollgate Grove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you don't remember it, then it's probably closed. But how about the fairgrounds?
Fairgrounds, yes. That was there.
Horse races
there. We had the Bel Air races and the Harvey Grace races. They were much missed when they left. People used to come to and stay at Kenmore Inn during the race season in Bel Air so they could go to the races.
Yeah, and that would have been just up the street from from your house.
Right, up on the corner.
It's a modern day loony pub.
Right.
But I guess originally the Safeway.
That's right. My mother and her neighbor went up to oppose them, putting the Safeway there because they wanted to keep it like it was. But they went up to the court to do that, but they didn't succeed in that. The Safeway came anyway.
Was the Kenmore Inn up for sale?
Yes.
It was up for sale.
Okay.
Wasn't there some other hotels along Main Street there?
There was only one that I remember. It was right there before Preston's Stationery Store was on the corner there. And then the American Restaurant was down the block. And then this little hotel was right between those two. On Main Street. American Restaurant. And then the Acme. I don't know whether it was the Acme. It was a little grocery store there. My brother worked at the Acme store, but it was down further on Main Street later on. Mm-hmm. So that must have been another meat store, I think. I can't remember the name of that.
It's okay. Well, you certainly have had a long and distinguished career in the county, so let's jump forward. And you were saying that So this, when you became the deputy treasurer for the county, that must have been in the early 40s, since you mentioned the war effort?
Yes.
After 1943.
Uh-huh. The treasurer was sick, so I took over the 2 years that I collected all the taxes and set the record for the county and the state as collecting every tax bill.
Not a single tax sale.
Not a single tax sale. And that was written up in the Baltimore paper.
Mm-hmm. It's pages and pages in the Aegis today.
Right. That's true. And I was elected treasurer in 1958 and re-elected for 15 years. And I traveled the county with all the state Democrats that were running for election. We'd take a bus and go stop at all the grocery stores, the bars, the barber shops, and I'd go in with all the men. And we traveled through Havre de Grace one day, and I wore off the heels of my shoes walking. I remember that.
And you were the only lady?
Only lady.
Only lady. Mm-hmm. Well, I can certainly remember writing my tax checks to you.
Did you? And,
yes, ma'am. In the 60s, I guess.
Right.
Late 60s and early 70s.
Well, the last day to pay taxes was always a very busy day in the office. So this one day, we closed at 4:30, and quarter after 4, this man came in with a wheelbarrow full of pennies to pay his taxes. And we had to count all those pennies. So we were a little late getting away that day.
Was he just a little iron room?
Yes, he was. And they used to assess chickens and things like that, and the farmers got so mad because they didn't think they should have been assessed. So one day, a man brought all these chickens in and let them loose in the assessment office. That was right next door to where my office was.
Well, where were the county offices at that time?
At 18 Office Street.
18? Oh, okay. Across from the courthouse.
Right.
Okay.
And we stayed there. When we left the courthouse, it was in the back of the courthouse, went over to 18 Office Street. And then that was where we were until we moved across the street to where the county office building is now. That wasn't 18 Office Street, it was Main Street. On the second floor, we went from 18 Office Street over there to the treasurer's office. And when the charter government was voted in 1979, I was appointed controller. And then I served as a board member of the First National Bank of Maryland until I was 70. When you were 70, you had to get off that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a member of the town board of appeals and member of the Town Planning Commission, member of the Serapis International Bel Air, and I was a charter member of that, and still the only living member of the charter members of that. I was a member of the American Legion Auxiliary, Post 39, St. Margaret's Catholic Church in Bel Air. I was voted Outstanding Young Democrat in Maryland in 1957 and finished in the top 10 counties in the United States. I flew to Florida for that, and I was 10 rows away from Kennedy at that place.
Still, it would have, in 1957, it still would have been much of the men.
Right,
so
right.
You were still very much in the minority.
That's right. And some of the ones that went with me there to Florida are still in the Senate and the Congress. So
yes, you mentioned that.
I did.
Yes, ma'am.
Then I was on the election board since 1983, and was replaced this year, 1970. Sad.
Yes. Well, you let's back up to more of the Bel Air history because it's a very nice thing. You basically have been here your entire life. For our listeners, we're reading notes.
Right.
let me see. You also mentioned before we started the interview that your brother had worked at the movie theater.
Yes.
In Bel Air.
He did. The manager of the theater lived next door to us, so he gave my brother the job of pulling the curtain for two shows at night for the Bel Air Theater. And he got 50 cents a night for doing that, which would be opening the curtains and closing them for the two shows.
Mm-hmm. 50 cents a night?
Yes.
Not 50 cents a week?
No.
Wow. You must have really liked him.
He did. He was a good neighbor.
Now, who was the owner of the theater?
Earl Birkins.
I've had a lot of interviewees talk about the movies, but never knew any of the owners. Let me see. What else can we talk about? How about, you remember when the first library came to town?
That was in a little stone house that was across from the Bel Air Armory. Mm-hmm. That's where that was. Remember?
Well, the church is the
was
oldest.
The first one?
Well, I don't know whether it was the first or not, right. But the church was the oldest one I'd heard other people mention. But it would be certainly in the same area.
Right.
They're both across from the Armory. You mentioned the war effort. I've seen pictures of soldiers marching down Main Street. Is that something you ever attended?
My mother and I both worked at the armory. We had to watch for the lights to come on, and I guess during the war, they had to have somebody there all the time to watch these lights for the armory. So mother and I worked there. My father was in the Minutemen.
Now, what was the Minutemen? I've not heard that.
Well, they were just a group of men that were there to protect us, I guess, in case anything would happen here during the war. I didn't really get into that too much.
Another note that we have written here.
Yeah.
When you were growing up, before we started the interview, you were talking about food deliveries to the house.
Yes. There was a store that you only had to pay your bill once a month.
Uh-huh.
And you could call and order and they would deliver. And Willie Richardson was the delivery man. He wasn't too old then. But he was so funny, we'd always look forward to his trips because he'd have us in hysterics before he left. And then we had a Mrs. Eli that delivered milk, eggs, butter. And when she'd bring the milk in, the cream would be standing up in the wintertime because it was the cold. That was so good, that rich cream on top.
Now, did she have her little farm in the city?
It was in the country, and she'd bring it. I guess she had other customers too. But.
Did she deliver stuff by horse or by car?
I think it was car. So it's been later on that we got that.
Remember, you talked about your father had a shoe store.
Yes.
Where the guests.
My grandfather.
Your grandfather.
Grandfather.
Your grandfather had the shoe store.
It's a boot and shoe emporium on Main Street in Bel Air.
So it wasn't work boots for the farmers.
Well, I don't know whether they had those or not. They could have. And my other grandfather, Henry Bruns, had a livery stable, and he rented out.
In Bel Air?
Yes.
And where was that?
That was out right next to the railroad station.
Okay. Which is the southern states today.
Right. And my mother said that when she'd come home from school, she'd change her clothes and get on the horse and ride up and down Main Street on the horse. And it was dirt roads then at that time.
And do you remember when the streets were paved in Bel Air?
No, I'm afraid not. But we had many good times there, especially with those 4th of July parades. I'd make a big pot of chili and had to have a cake with fresh strawberry icing because the kids would all look for that every year. And one boy, little boy would come and he'd call me Bologna Lady and I'd have to have bologna for him. So then they would take, they had fireworks later. And Mother and I would wait there on the porch because as soon as the first fireworks went off, the kids would cry and they'd come bring them up to us to hold them, keep them until they expired. We'd rock them in the chairs to quiet them down.
And where did they have the fireworks in those years?
It was back where the Bel Air High School is now. Right back there. So it's close to where we live. Anything that I'm
missing? Well, how about changes that you've seen in the county? That anything that you, any changes that you liked in the county?
Well, of course, all the modern stores that we have now, where the racetrack used to be, now is a big store place.
Oh, yes.
And, yes.
It's probably easier to remember things that have changed than you disagree.
Right.
How about things?
The traffic.
The
traffic is terrible. It's easier to drive to New York City than this Main Street now in Bel Air, really.
Mm-hmm. Traffic caused by people.
Right.
That's my most common answer.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then we're going to get so many more here. I don't know how they're going to handle it. I'm sure they will think of something.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. My great-nephew is now the president of the county council, Billy Boniface. And he's also my godchild, so I'm very proud of him. They had the horse that won the Preakness. Where's that down here somewhere?
It was on his farm?
There, yeah. And that was a big thing to win the Preakness. He had a big party in Bel Air to celebrate it. Boniface, son of William Boniface and Mary, my sister Mary Louise, had the Bonita Farm in Darlington, originally founded by his father. In 1983, his horse Debuted Test Money won the Preakness in Baltimore. In 2000, Bill and his son received an award from the Maryland Horsemen's Association for their documentary on thoroughbred horse racing. So that was, they still have horses at Bonita Farm in Darlington. And my nephew and his three boys that all live on the farm, and they run horses at different tracks in Maryland.
Very good. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think I've covered everything, and I certainly have enjoyed talking to you.
Appreciate you taking the time. Okay, I will say thank you very much, and wish you well in your future service to the county.
Thank you.